Finding and soliciting shippers. Developing shipper relationships. Searching for shippers is among the initial stages of the freight brokering business. However, before you begin the marketing operations, you'll need to have at least a good website, which is considered to be a good place to start your marketing campaign. Your broker's course includes free website templates. Even if you are operating a small freight brokerage, a professional website will be helpful in giving your clients and shippers the impression that you are an established freight brokerage company. When you market your services to shippers, they will want to see your website, and more than likely, your website will be one of the key factors affecting their decision of making business with you or not. Your website will be a main source that describes all your services, testimonials, and contact information. Within your broker's course, you will be provided a shipper and carrier database of over 250,000 profiles in Excel format. Upon using this list of data, you will be able to market your business by sending out emails, brochures to their business address, and make phone calls to set up appointments. Pay your attention to plan a marketing strategy rather than just making indecisive searches or phone calls. Define your target area, set goals, and work from there. It is good to start with email marketing, as you will reach a lot of clients with little effort, but making calls and setting up appointments is where most of your leads will start to convert into reality. The approach. One of the best approaches is to target a specific market segment. By developing certain markets, you will be referred to other customers. In addition, through this method, other carriers are much easier to find as well. As a search criteria, try targeting your business based on the following criteria: the shipper's location and the freight's destination. Type of cargo: agricultural, perishable, oversized, bulk commodities, etc. Load size, specific industries, or some other special shipping segment. Upon choosing a particular demographic, you shall consider what type of cargo that would be most comfortable brokering. You may choose to broker general commodity freight, which is more stable and less volatile, or you focus your expertise in areas such as heavy haul, temperature controlled, hazmat loads, or oversized loads. Once you find a shipper, you shall approach the right person. In this industry, you'll need to talk to the appropriate person in charge. Generally, traffic manager is the person that you'll need to contact. Thankfully, in this industry, the go-to people is not that evasive, and there are very few loops to jump through to get to the right person. Key contacts: transportation manager, sales agents and brokers, logistics department, traffic manager. As mentioned previously, your first goal is to look for shippers who need shipping services. As a service industry, you have no physical storefront that customer can visit it, or a prod UCT to hand them for examination. Therefore, your website acts as a virtual storefront for you. Marketing campaign should include 1. Telephone calls. 2. Brochure distribution. 3. Promotional emails with cover letters. Also, you need to pay attention to marketing over the internet through social networks like Facebook, Twitter, Craigslist ads, and transportation blogs. Shipper requirements. The shippers are always concerned about their limited budget to which they want their shipment to be constrained to. However, the budget varies according to the fluctuation in the supply and demand of any load type. Shippers want their cargo to be transported by the carriers with safety, efficiency, and within their estimated costs. They do not usually have industry knowledge or time to spend on finding the reliable carriers themselves. Therefore, your clients' shippers are constantly looking towards finding reliable and honest freight brokers to build with them strong business relationships. There are two types of brokers. Truck brokers, the motor carrier with authority and a broker's license, and property brokers only having a broker's license, cannot move freight. A property broker has no liability, and only makes a commission for facilitating the move of the load, while the truck broker has liability and may hire other carriers, owner-operators to move the freight, creating liability. The reason for this embodies in the difference between having an authority and license. A carrier has authority, which means having the shipper's permission to take ownership of the cargo to deliver the load by interstate or intrastate transportation. When taking over the cargo, the carrier must show proof of cargo and liability insurance, as upon the receipt of the cargo for transportation they have become responsible for it. A broker obtains a license and can only arrange the transportation of the shipper's cargo with carrier's owner-operators with authority. A broker's license is not a mode of transportation, and a property broker cannot take ownership of the bill of lading. Property brokers are in a fiduciary trust relationship with the motor carrier actually hauling the brokered freight. The broker collects the money from the shipper and then pays to the motor carrier their rate, less his commission. In the case of a carrier brokers loads their excess to another motor carrier sub-hauler, there will be no broker's license required. However, both parties need to share 100% liability for the cargo. So many truck brokers think that they are not responsible for freight that they subcontract from one motor carrier to another. Carrier requirements. Carriers are certainly looking for the best price that they can get for shipping the cargo. The motor carriers and shippers also have to face the cost constraints. The carrier company shall take care of many different costs, such as truck maintenance, employee salaries, fuel costs, etc. If they learn how to manage such costs efficiently, they can achieve good profit. To facilitate a smooth process, a freight broker is required to make a win-win situation for all. This can be achieved by the excellent negotiation skills to devise a transaction in which all parties, broker, carrier, and shipper, are satisfied. Broker requirements. The broker looks for shippers who are in need to ship cargo, and then they look for reliable carriers who are able to cover the loads. It's the freight broker's responsibility to do perfect load, carrier matching, and keeping the shipper's cost as low as possible, or at least within their budget. When a broker starts his new business, he may need to make a lot of research on the phone and internet to gather a useful database of carriers and shippers. This course will give you a database of 350,000 shippers and carriers to help you to overcome this process. The broker's activity key role is to achieve reliable relationships between the shippers and carriers, and provide the shipper with a list of different options that can meet their needs of delivering their cargo. This is an art that will greatly determine broker performance and start bringing in recurring business. The next important step to success in the business is to do a credit check in order to be in the safe side deals with new shippers. Try to avoid problems before they occur. Don't be trapped even if a shipper has good credit. It may take from 45, 60 to even 90 days before receiving a check from them, so you either need to have great cash flow management, or you can factor your invoices with freight factoring companies that will pay faster, just less their processing fees. With new carriers, you'll need to do a similar credit background check. The broker needs to pre-qualify carriers, which mean they should have all their operational and insurance documents ready. No too many traffic citations or highway patrol inspections. Also, there are some web-server vice that can be used to check the carrier's authority status. Safer is one of those useful services. http://www.safersys.org/company-snapshot.aspx. Use the carrier's USDOT hash to search the Safer web service. Cargo insurance is not required to be obtained by freight brokers, as they use the cargo insurance of the carrier. But the contingent cargo insurance should be purchased as a Plan B insurance in case the carrier's insurance does not pay or pays for only partial of the insurance claim. This is always a great backup to protect both you and the shipper, and ignore this drove many new brokers into financial troubles, so never think that you can abandon insurance coverage. In order to start your business relationship with the shipper, you'll need to first get set up with the shipper. The setup process involves faxing the shipper an information packet, including all important documents such as their motor carrier number, proof of surety bond, insurance certificate in case the contingent cargo coverage is purchased, W-9 form, and all other crucial information the broker want to include or the shipper may have specified. As soon as the shipper accepts and verifies your information, you can now start business with him. This packet is not like your marketing packet that you will send out to potential clients. This setup packet is specifically to provide more information about your brokerage to the shipper who intend and agrees to start a business with you. Some professional freight broker can send a broker-shipper agreement that is rarely done in case of new brokers as they still do not have enough experience to do such agreements. This agreement ensures the shipper that their loads will be covered by the broker. This course include ED sample of broker-shipper agreement contracts. If you are a creditable broker, you will make demands in your contract that you can fulfill. The shipper might ask the broker to give his quote to deliver one or large number of loads, before deciding to start the business relationship with you. In the previous chapter we have reviewed how to do rate calculation. This will be helpful to prepare your rate sheet previously, to be always ready to send your setup package in case the shipper's request to include your rate sheet. What do you say? If you contact your customer, whether via phone or email, you will want to speak in terms that they understand, so you shall not appear uneducated in the industry. Shippers have the desire to deal with reputable and established companies that can handle the movement of their freight with the smallest number of problems. The only thing they may need to is consistency and reliability for the shipment of their various products. It is preferred to have a previous good working knowledge of the transportation vernacular prior to contact a shipper for the first time. It's been said by human resource experts that we only have 15 seconds to make a first impression. Do not worry if you have never had any previous experience in direct sales, as most of the work in this profession is completed using a telephone or email. It would be beneficial to spend a little time on the phone or in practice sessions with a partner role-playing prior to set up a prospective sales meeting with a client personally. This is also called the elevator pitch. You have the time to go from one floor to another in an elevator to get your pitch in. Can you do it? Prospecting for customers. Find your customer base. In order to be a successful freight broker, you will need to have a good database of customers. Shippers are always looking for the most safe, efficient, and cost-effective methods to transport their products. The information mentioned below will provide you a general knowledge base that will grant you the required skills to manage and find appropriate freight and customers. Gather the information. There are several useful methods to find your customer database. It can be as easy as picking your phone to do a call. Products manufactured in the USA have to be shipped to the retail or wholesale distributor. Targeted markets, distributors, warehouses, cold storage facilities, growers and packers, membership associations, trucking companies, manufacturers, wholesalers. Databases. The information databases are provided by third-party resources. However, you have to be aware about what kind of information included in the database you are purchasing and whether it is useful and up to date or not before paying your money. You may try one of the following resources: contact DB website link http://www.contactdb.com. Info USA website link http://www.infausa.com. Selectory D&B website link http://www.selectory.com. How to search? You can reach a huge variety of sales and contacts information by performing searches of various membership databases. You can perform the search process for membership directories and get the membership directories and their buyer's guide for free and easily via various trade organizations. Using truck load boards. Load boards are websites that are widely used by the freight brokers to post the shipper loads available with them, in order to find available ready trucks to cover them. On the other hand, the load boards are used by the carrier companies to post the availability of their trucks. So simply, the carrier companies are searching for brokers and loads matching their post request. The usage of loading boards can come up with the desired solution within few minutes. Load boards operates differently, some may allow the broker to post load and to perform searches for trucks as well, while other load boards operators automatically notifies other load boards with the broker loads post as soon as it is posted, achieving a quick matching. Nowadays load boards provides many customized services, but the primary one for the freight brokers off course being posting loads and searching for available trucks to cover these loads. Qualifying prospects. Sales strategy. You need to gain and maintain very strong negotiation skills so you can market your freight brokerage successfully. Almost everyone isn't good at negotiating. Many are intimidated by the person on the other end of the line. If you are not feeling comfortable with negotiations, then keep in mind that this job requires frequent situations and negotiation skills are highly involved in the daily procedures of your business. However, you can enhance your negotiation skills and you may need few ideas and thoughts to overcome your fears and become a successful negotiator. Before quoting freight rates, it is very important for you to remember your service value. You should know and understand your product and its value, which you introduce to your customers. Your previous customers will give you a bit of information so that you can keep your competitors' products and services on the top. As those customers will tell you about your weaknesses and strengths points according to their experience and needs. By that time, you shall be open-minded and accept their criticism in order to develop yourself. If you do that, you will gain your customers and grow your business. Study your competition, as it is essential to know which rates are being quoted on lanes and how your competitors are meets them. You should understand others' pricing and how they are getting them in order to improve your predictive abilities. You should study and research your competitors. Customers are always looking for a better deal, so they are going to hang around to get the best possible prices. If you understand your competitors, that will make you develop your services and will grant you the lead during negotiations. Understand your sales strategy. Firstly, you should define your strategy before beginning negotiations. Then do as much plans as possible that you may propose as further opportunities to your clients in case your first suggestion wasn't accepted. Your strategy should be flexible enough to work efficiently with all of you provided opportunities when negotiate a rate. If you succeed in developing such strategy for marketing your service, then you will definitely acquire the forefront in negotiations with your clients. Rates quoting. Define spot quote. A spot quote is a group of rates for a month. It is calculated based on the current market and it is done without a contract. So the spot quote is a rate quotes for an individual line haul. So you should start talking to carriers who run this line, and before that you shall gather all information that they are going to ask you about. Information needed for quote. You shall do the following: origin and destination. Truckload, LTL. Dimensions. Commodity. Weight. Trapping required. Pallet exchange required. Date of pickup and delivery. Contact 5. Carriers to get their quote on the line haul. Post the load and request rates from carriers that call you for the details. Get an average price for the load and then contact your shipper with the rate. Dedicated lanes. When you quote dedicated lanes for shippers, you will need to do some research. Dedicated means constant loads weekly from the same origin to destination, and carriers usually love this type of freight, so they will give you a better rate than the normal spot quote line haul rate. Because of the demand, this type of freight is very competitive and your quotes will be compared and considered against many others. It is essential to offer your shipper a quote that actually can transport the freight, especially that you are a non-asset-based freight broker. Most brokers will provide low quotes to shippers so that they can get the freight in hopes of brokering it out to carriers. When this happens, many of these freight brokers will not be able to move the freight since your quotes are not accurate. This is one of the main reasons shippers will not deal with many freight brokers. You must set yourself as apart from the rest, and here are a few ways to do that. Rates of market prices. Sometimes shippers will need carriers to move their freight due to a truck falling out or another vendor's inability to provide the service. That will be when a shipper will have to pay the going rate for a truck to move the freight, so there will be a relationship with a lot of carriers that will be possible. You can make huge commissions on these loads, as the shipper will most generally pay whatever is necessary to transport the load. Do not gouge your shippers. Rates calculation. Freight charges varies according to number of variables, but the two main factors are the weight of the load and the distance it must travel. Truck's type affects the rates, regardless of the driver's needs to make one or more stops to pick up the freight or to deliver it. However, rates for additional stops are usually negotiable. You'll need to get an idea of the current going rates for the types of shipments that you can handle before you begin shopping for rates for specific shipments. This can be achieved by requesting copies of tariffs from several carriers and studying them. There are different methods to calculate these rates mentioned below. Load boards and calling for rates on posted loads is another way of getting information on current market rates. The National Modo Freight Traffic Association NMFTA classes products according to four characteristics: weight, handling, storability, and liability. There are 18 freight classes that are beginning from class 50 the least expensive, to class 500 most expensive. For more information on NMFTA classes visit http://www.nmfta.org/pages/welcome.aspx. 1. Flat rate. The broker can set up a flat rate for shipper's load that might need to be hauled from one state to another. For e.g. the loads are to be shipped from Miami, Florida to Houston, Texas, then the broker can decide upon the flat rate to be $2,200. 2. Rate per mile. Rates can be determined based on mile. For e.g. the rate per mile is $1.50 and the carrier covers 2,500 miles, then the total cost to cover the loads will be $3,750. 3. Rate per unit. The shipper may prefer to pay the broker per unit price, like the payment for a carton of juice cans to be delivered as $1.75. 4. Rate per hundred weights. The shipper can also choose the payment option of pay per hundred weights. Say if $6.25 is the price per hundred weights and the total weight of the loads to be shipped is 32,000 pounds. Then the total amount the shipper will pay is $2,000. The broker should find if there is any extra cost involved in the shipment, such as extra picks, unloading fees, etc. The broker should have good negotiation skills to ask the shipper for some add-ons like fuel surcharge, etc. above the regular rate. With increasing fuel prices, more and more truckers want the fuel surcharge payment to be added in the deal. The broker should have good knowledge about all loading techniques and regulations. He should be aware of the loading terminology, like full truck load FTL, and less than truck load LTL. He should keep himself well informed to avoid any future problem related to loads transporting. Commissions that you earn on each load is your main source of income. There are two methods to receive your payment. You can bill the shipper the amount you're going to pay the carrier plus the amount of your commission, or the carrier can bill the shipper directly and then pay you a commission from its revenue. The most common and efficient way to handle billing and commas science is to have the carrier bill you and then you bill your customers. Freight rates are based on many factors, including 1. The distance that shipment will take. 2. The shipment's weight. 3. The density of the shipping goods. 4. The commodity's susceptibility to damage. 5. The value of the commodity. 6. The commodity's load ability and handling characteristics. All of the above factors affects the classification of a commodity. The NMFC, or National Motor Freight Classification Tariff, contains all product classifications. There are 18 possible classes ranging from 50 to 500. The increasing of the class increases the rate for every 100 pounds you will ship. Most less than truckload LTL, rates are stated as a rate per 100 pounds, or per hundredweight. Rates of each 100 pounds is structured to decreases as the total shipment weight increase. For example, a shipment weighing 100 pounds may cost $41 per hundred weight, while a heavier shipment, say, 500 pounds, of the same commodity moving to the same destination, may only cost $35 per hundred weight. But doing the math, we see that the total charges for the 500-pound shipment are higher. 5x $35 is greater than 1x $41. For very light shipments, most LTL carriers state a minimum charge. Carrier expenses such as fuel mileage, driver wages, IFTA International Fuel Tax Agreement, fuel taxes, as well as the toll roads play a critical role in the line haul rates you submit to your customers. This is simply because carriers' rates are based on mileage. Regardless of the line haul rate, which is broken into mileage, there are additional costs that need to be calculated. For example, if that very same $1,500 load had two extra stops, you should add another $50 to $100 per stop to the gross line haul rate. Carriers tend to use two major formulas to determine shipping rates, 1. The linear foot rule and 2. The cube rule. The standard carrier linear foot rule states that shipments occupying 10 linear feet or more of trailer space are charged for £1,000 per foot. Usually this rule applies when there are at least 5 pallets single stacked or 10 pallets double stacked. For example, say a 10-pallet order of stackable freight occupies 10 linear feet. If those pallets were not stackable, they would occupy 20 linear feet. In the former scenario, a shipper would be charged for £10,000, in the latter, they would be charged for £20,000. Here's a simple rule of thumb to remember: for stackable pallets, take the number of pallets on the floor of the trailer and multiply by 2, that's how many linear feet you should be charged for. For non-stackable pallets, multiply the total number of pallets by 2 to get the linear foot count. Review your invoices to see if this rule is being applied. How to calculate linear foot from number of pallets example. Units, 16, width, 42, length, 48, height, 42, stackable, 1, weight, 5,000, not turnable, turned pallets resulting in width of 48. Number across, 2 base linear feet, 42 twelfths. Equals 3.5 linear feet after accounting for 2 wide in trailer equals 3.5, 2. Equals 1.75 linear feet after stacking, 1.75, 1. Equals 1.75 linear feet for all units, 1.75 asterisk 16. Equals 28 here is a great link to calculate linear feet. To reiterate, linear feet equals square feet, width. http://www.wpg.org/member/linearfootcalc3.asp. What is meant by fuel surcharge? A fuel surcharge aims to compensate carriers and balance the spiraling fuel expenses. In case the fuel cost has risen to $750 per gallon, then it's not feasible for a carrier to haul a load at the rate of $150 per mile. We try to resolve this issue by getting the clients pay a fuel surcharge, which is then handed over to the trucking company. How is fuel surcharge calculated? The average of most trucks is approximately 5 mpg. The base fuel cost should range from $1.10 to $1.20 irrespective of the existing cost of fuel. For instance, here we will assume the base price to be $1.20. You now have to divide the fuel expenses for more than $1.20 for every gallon by 5, which is the average mpg for majority of the trucks. If the existing fuel rate is $2.50 per gallon, then you will have to deduct the base price, in this case $1.20. The amount which remains $1.30 will now be divided by the average mpg 5 as decided in the example. Thus you get 26 cents, which is your fuel surcharge. Regional, national fuel prices. The fuel surcharge depends on the national average retail price of diesel fuel in a specific region from where the load begins. You can get the details about the average retail price from the federal government's Energy Information Administration, which is updated every week on Wednesdays. You can also call 202.586-6966 or visit http://www.aia.gov/petroleum/gasdiesel/ to find out more details. Often freight brokers decide on a floating fuel surcharge with their clients. This surcharge is modified every month. It is better to ensure that you update your customers about the changes in the fuel surcharge, which will be applicable for the following month. In case you do levy a fuel surcharge, then sincerely ensure that it reaches the carrier. Never be overcome by greed, as it could 40 spell doom for your business. Fuel surcharge rate confirmation. The fuel surcharge must be included separately on the rate confirmation sheet, and you must never levy any commission for this amount. It is better to have a detailed rate confirmation with all the overheads like the line haul rate, the paid miles, the TARP pay, additional stops and fuel surcharge. Itemizing the confirmation sheet will give you better clarity and revenue sharing. You do not have to pen down the fuel surcharge on any other shipping documents like the bill of lading. but it is essential to include it on the load rate confirmation agreement as well as the invoice which you send to the client. Freight rate variables. The freight rates differ from day to day. Besides this, they are not uniform throughout the nation. The freight rates depend on the supply and demand at that particular location, and as long as there's no sudden hike in the fuel rates, the rates you finalize should be stable for around a month. After you have finalized a line haul rate, it is easier to keep the base rate stable and negotiate with the rate variables like the truck fuel surcharge. The motor carrier will have to order the proper permits for all the states through which the load is going to be hauled. But you too should find out if the load requires any additional permits. The customer too should be fully updated of the same. A load must have individual state permits in case its width exceeds 8 feet. Its length exceeds 53 feet and it is hanging over the back of the trailer. In case the GVW gross vehicle weight of the truck exceeds 80,000 pounds after being loaded. Because of the extra expense for the carrier, it is better that you get a good deal for such loads. Extending credit to shippers. The credibility of information, efficiency of communication and control plays vital role in managing credit in your small business. Before you can even begin to think about granting any kind of credit terms, it is essential that you research and get the correct information you need to obtain reasonable assurance that you will get paid on time and in full. Transparent communications and an excellent flow of information and complete and clear documentation will contribute in building positive business relationships with your customers and clients. Most importantly, having a strong contact relationship with the accounts payable and following up will be a key aspect in your collections and cash flow. Freight brokerage and credit. It is a normal procedure to perform buying and selling operations on credit. Establishing and maintaining a clear credit policy and following the proper credit practices and procedures should be an integral part of your small business operation. Marketing and sales, production and delivery, and customer service are essential aspects of your business, and your credit and collections practices complete the operating cycle. Three key concepts involved in credit are communication, control, information. To sell on credit is agreeing to deliver the products orders by your customers, or to perform their requested services based on a promise to pay at a determined future date. Therefore, you will need to make an informed decision about extending credit, before committing your time and resources. Clear communication with the customer will avoid any misunderstandings that may happen later. Once you have decided to extend credit to a customer, the terms should be documented so that they can be clear to both parties. It is also important that all your employees who work in sales and marketing, production and distribution, or accounting, operate from the same base in terms of credit. Your credit policy will only be effective if it is carried out in practice, and in order to have a proper control, you'll need to perform constant follow-up. Guidelines should be consistently applied in the sales and billing phase, and enforced through follow-up in the collection stage. Common credit practices. You should take into your consideration when establishing a credit policy the factors that will be the standard practices in your line of business. It is mostly common in many business that customers with 30-day payment terms. In spite of the fact that you are not obligated to accept terms imposed by your customers, but it is extremely important to recognize these standard or common practices. Most businesses operate on a standard pay cycle, issuing payments once a week, for example, based on an accounts payable system that age invoices and calls up for payment those that are due. In many cases, when the invoices are entered into the system, the due date will be assumed to be, or will default to 30 days. The 30-day payment period is an example, and it does vary, according to business's nature, type of industry, general economic industry's conditions, and individual company's financial policies and practices. You will need to provide your small business cash flow permits. By making it easier for your customers to pay you, it may be acceptable and beneficial to accept the standard terms of your customers as your company is new established. However, you may be in a business that normally involves payment on cash terms, which means you receive payment for your sales essentially by cash, check, credit or debit card, or electronic transfers of funds. Your credit policy would involve the exceptions, when you would extend credit to a particular customer based on a certain set of circumstances. Though even in the case of an exception, the same principles would apply in deciding whether to grant credit to that customer. Considerations regarding the potential customer. Some of the questions that may form part of a credit evaluation of a particular company include the following: how long has the company been in operation? Are you familiar with the company? Is the company generally recognized in your market, industry, or community? Does the company have a physical address? Do you know the manager? Has the company undergone a change of management or a restructuring? Who are the owners? Has the company undergone a change of ownership? Paydex score: is the company in bankruptcy or has it declared bankruptcy in the past? Dun, Bradstreet, Paydex. The most important things to know as a business is your Paydex score. A company's Paydex score is the business equivalent to your personal FICO score, or personal credit score. Knowing what this number is and having the secrets to increasing your Paydex score can mean acquiring the financing necessary to start or grow your business and make the difference in achieve your business goals. On the flip side, not managing your Paydex score will cost your business. The exact definition from Dun and Bradstreet or D&B is, the D&B Paydex score is D&B's unique dollar-weighted numerical indicator of how a firm paid its bills over the past year, based on trade experiences reported to D&B by various vendors. The D&B Paydex score ranges from 1 to 100, with higher scores indicating better payment performance. Understanding payment patterns. 10.0 Anticipate, payment detail may state, payments are received prior to date of invoice anticipated. 90. Discount payment detail may state, payments are received within trade discount period discount. 80. Prompt payment detail may state, payments are received within terms granted prompt. 70. Minus 15 days beyond terms. 60. Minus 22 days beyond terms. 50. Minus 30 days beyond terms. 40. Minus 60 days beyond terms. 30. Minus 90 days beyond terms. 20. Minus 120 days beyond UN. Unavailable. The payment details section may include the following comments on your payment patterns: ANTIC payments are received prior to date of invoice anticipated. DISC payments are received within trade discount period discount. PPT payments are received within terms granted prompt. Slow payments are beyond vendor's terms. For example, slow 30 means payments are 30 days past due. PPT slow means that some invoices are paid within terms, others are paid beyond terms. Hash indicates that no manner of payment was provided, the number merely reflects the line where it appears in the listing. For example, 004 means it is the fourth experience listed. Closing deals. All small business owners either hate or completely ignore the cornerstone of the business, the sales process. The main idea of closing a sale is even less appealing. Sales and marketing are the foundational functions that keep every business alive and growing and that makes every successful business owner make good deals. Selling is much more about educating and informing, than pushing and listening. A truly good salesperson, regardless of what they are selling, is a master at determining their customers' needs and finding answers for them. The quicker business owner realizes the importance of selling and closing as well as makes a positive business decision to educate himself on techniques and principles associated with selling and closing, so his business will grow. The last and most critical step in the sales process is closing. Ask your prospective customer for their business. Closing is a critical step. Without thinking, many people do not close. They make the age-old mistake of thinking their prospect will just automatically give them their business. Of course, this does occur occasionally. It's difficult to pay your bills every month if you rely on what may occur occasionally. Closing the sale is as important as crossing the finish line at the end of a race. All or many business owners do not like going into close mode, as they are fear of rejection. You should not be afraid to close and ask for the business, whenever possible. That is the purpose for having the business in the first place. With practice, you will know when your potential customer's interest is high. Make sure you take advantage of the timing by asking for their business. Never, ever be afraid to close. Even if your attempt at closing is unsuccessful, you shall tell your potential customer that you are able to offer them your service product, as you will have an instant indicator in order to know where they are in the sales process. Frequently, customers will have the interest for asking about details related to your service. This is a guide and indication that their interest is high. This is the time that a nudge puts them over the buying edge. If they committed after your initial close, there is some type of objection standing in your way. You must determine that objection or concern, then address it and go for the close again. Trial close. In order to close your prospective customer, you should define the level of interest by using a trial close. A trial close is a very simple question that gets the customer to think about the possibility of using your services. Lots of car sales representatives may use a trial close with an interested buyer by, for example, asking them about the color that they prefer. If the buyer answers with a color, then the sales representative has known that the buyer's interest is high. Simply because the customer has already imagined owning that car in a particular color. Therefore, using trial close technique is very helpful in determining your prospective client's level of interest. In fact, trial closes builds interest from your customer by getting them to think of you as a service provider who has what they need. Assumptive close. Assumptive close is considered as one of the most effective closing technique. Simply, it is a statement that implies that you will do business with your prospect. Similar to the trial close, the assumptive close have the same aim to get the prospective customer to consider you as a service provider. It should also be used throughout the sales process to determine and build interest. Nevertheless, unlike the trial close, the assumptive close is normally posed as a statement. The close should be a very conscious part of the sales process, and when you enter into a closing opportunity, confirm that you have successfully created enough interest in your service. Familiarize yourself with closing options. Have clear pricing objectives. Have mental and emotional clarity about closing. Have prepared a way to accept payment. Have an agreement or contract ready if it is necessary. Alternate choice close. Alternative choice close is an extremely strong and very powerful closing technique, which gives your prospective client several options on any particular aspect of your service. The alternative choice close is formed as a question that prompts your prospective client to consider how to do business with you or not to do it with you. This is possible to do throughout the sales process. You should limit your choices to two possibilities when using the alternative choice close. After the potential customer answers the question by selecting one of the possibilities, have them come MIT to specifics immediately after that. A free analysis or a free offer form is highly recommended to be added to your website, as it is going to help initiating the sales process by letting you cultivate a contact with the potential client to determine their needs and to educate them on how you can become a solution to their needs. Closing and selling is not a way of manipulating your prospective clients, but is an opportunity for you to show them that your service can serve their needs. It is vital that you are successful at closing and selling and persuading your client that there is a great need for your service. Your job is to be proactive by making others aware that they need your service. As a salesperson, you know that there is always some resistance to change among those considering using your services. Selling and closing are the tools by which you can overcome that resistance. Additional closing tips: ask for the order. Ask for the order again. Ask for commitment using the alternate choice close. Create a sense of urgency with temporary discounts and promotions. Keep your energy and enthusiasm high, don't lose steam at the end. Don't oversell, ask for the order and quietly wait for a response. www.freightbrokerscourse.45 Move into closing seamlessly and without hesitation. Visualize yourself successfully getting the business. Ask for the order again. Remember, you should not hesitant or fearful in promoting your services proactively. As a business owner, we know that most people need our services. Take it as a conscious mission to improve the sales and closing processes, and then use as many of the techniques as possible in order to help more people and essentially grow your business. Additional closing techniques. If it's a low-ticket retail purchase, most people won't say, okay, I'll buy it, out of their own initiative, especially if it's a purchase that will require financial commitment. In order to be successful at closing a sale, you'll have to convince them by using these 10 sales closing techniques. The idea behind closing a sale is learning to make him ask the right questions that will make the buyer want the product. This is not to say that sales closing techniques should be clever, manipulative, or deceptive. Rather, closing a sale should come as a natural conclusion of the selling process. Here is what many consider to sum the top 10 sales closing techniques that will make the customer say the magic words, "I'll take it." Affordable close. Price is the key element of any buying operation. Actually, it is the first objection most people have about buying a product, especially a major one like a car or house. But did you know that, "I can't afford to buy it," is more an excuse than an actual objection? You'll need to restructure the payment scheme according to your client's budget in order to change his prospective mind with, this is called the affordable close technique. To do that, you have to find out their budget and how much they can spare, and present a payment scheme that can fit the buyer's capacity to pay. Supplement this by showing the price of not buying, e.g. the current car's cost of continued ownership. You can also make the product more affordable by stripping it down to the bare minimum and selling the other options, accessories, or add-ons as separate products. Alternately, you can present a different product that fits their budget. Your very last option is to bring the price down to something the buyer is prepared to pay. Opportunity cost close. The opportunity cost is the cost of not doing something, as there is cost for everything in the world of business. We can understand that the cost is not equal for price, as the price refers to what the buyer pays, but cost may refer to the problems that may face you, such as hassle and dissatisfaction, which are not valued by money. No hassle close. The no hassle close is the way that makes you win the prospective buyer by making the purchase process very simple and avoid him any trouble or hassle matters. For example, you can fill all forms and papers for him. Best time close. If your client says that he do not have the time now, then try to persuade him that it is the best time for that, as when the client went away, he will not back again. So you should try to close the deal now. You can do that by showing him the advantages of your product and how it will be suitable in this time. Minor points close. You shall persuade the buyer to close the deal by closing the minor points. That means that you ask him about small details like the color, delivery time, fitting options, etc. that may make him to decide easier and help you to close the sale as well. In the same time, you should know the factors that may help him to take the decision. 1, 2, 3 close. There are three main items in this technique: cost, quality, and time. There are two ways for doing this. They may be together to make a single point, or may be separated in order to gain greater coverage. We all know that all customer want free, perfect, and delivery on time products. Adjournment close. We know that the relationship between the seller and client is very important, as it will be a long-term relationship. So it will be very bad to push him to take a decision before he is ready. So you can make an adjournment close that usually is a great deal for your client to take time before he can decide what he really needs. The adjournment close is better and easier to manage when the salesperson in a face-to-face meeting than waiting on a call phone. So you will tell him that you will put his deal on the table and give him time to think. Use this when 1. You are seeking to a long-term relationship, and if the client makes the wrong deal, that may affect on the relationship. 2. You do not need to make the sale today, for perhaps you've made your quota and this sale would be just fine for next month. 3. You are confident that the client likes your products and he will come back. 4. You know that they are not going to decide now. 5. Given more time, it is very likely that they will buy more, if they are at the edge of a budgetary period and their current funds are low. Balance sheet close. It works through building trust by seeming to be taking a balanced and fair approach. It can save customers from wasting their time, and it helps them to know their positive and negative sides, so their lists will be different. Squeeze close. Give the customer three different offers. First, offer them something that is well beyond their target budget number, but not quite so far beyond them that they would not consider it. Ideally, it is something they will look at wistfully but just cannot justify the purchase. Then, as another option, offer them a good deal that is within their price bracket. It may not have all the bells and whistles as they wanted, but it is clearly a very good value for the price they want to pay. Lastly, offer a severely stripped-down deal in which very little of what they want is included. More than likely they should, and probably will, go for the middle option. Bracket close. The bracket close works through contrasting the preferred option both upwards and downwards. Rejecting a higher option lets the other person feel good about not spending too much. By comparison, the option they choose seems quite obvious in comparison, and they may even feel you have saved them some money. Rejecting the lower option tells the customer feel they are not a cheap and can't afford something of value such as the service you provide. Charmer, deal with your customers gently and express your admiration for their personality. Boost their self-confidence and make them feel that they have the necessary expertise to determine what they want to buy. You have to entice the customers and massage their ego to become more concerned about themselves. Link your customers to the product and let them feel that the product meets their personal needs. Praise their earlier decisions and express your confidence that they can take new successful ones. Carrier setup package. When starting a business with new carrier, you will need to get them set up in your carrier database. You will need to collect the following information from the motor carrier. FMCSA contract authority. The authority or MC number of the motor carrier is required to be placed on file for your protection. You can check the accuracy of information provided by the motor carrier here, http://www.safersys.org/companysnapshot.aspx. Please read on pages how to check for valid authority. Insurance. You will also need a copy of the motor carrier's liability and cargo insurance. You verify the accuracy and minimum requirements here, http://li-public.fmcsa.gov/liveu/pkg_kerquery.prc_carlist. IRS W-9 form. You will also need a copy of the carrier's IRS W-9 form. You can download a blank one here, http://www.irs.gov/pub/ers-pdf/fw9.pdf. Broker carrier agreement. This agreement will regulate the provided services by the carrier for your freight brokerage. It will also list the exclusionary rules of how the carrier should operate and also help prevent back solicitation of your customers. Company profile. You'll need to have a company profile to obtain a better idea of the capabilities that the motor carrier possess. The carrier's company profile should include the following information: payment information, factoring company, type of equipment, dispatch contact S, operating area S, emergency contact information, endorsements, insurance contacts. Attached are sample carrier broker packets. Daily routine. Being a freight broker will involve a huge amount of phone time and being on your computer within your daily routine. You have to communicate with potential shippers efficiently to discover their needs. You will be very busy finding carriers or just providing lane quotes for the shipper to use at a later date. These communications are very important. Build your database of contacts and getting your name out there to the shippers. The first 2 to 4 hours of your day are the most critical. You can maximize your time by receiving calls and booking loads for the shipments you posted the previous day, rather than spending that time performing freight inquiries. Therefore, it is preferred to implement inquiries in the afternoon when things begin to slow down. Customer freight inquiries should be looked at as another form of time management that can make you money. The initial load details that will be collected by each broker will generally be commodity or cargo type, pickup and deliver locations, type of carrier required, anticipated rate for the load, and any special instructions to the carrier regarding the load. As soon as you collect the previous, you will begin entering these notes into your contact manager indicating when and where this shipper's loads move, and also the frequency of shipping. Remember to start as early as possible, preferably by 6 a.m. These offices start work early as the shippers are usually preparing to arrange their freight early in the morning. After establishing your relationship with a shipper, getting loads wouldn't be a problem. The shipper will tell you on what lanes and carriers are needed. You have to note everything about the load since this information will be relayed in detail to the carriers that are interested in moving the freight. The shipper will give you either a rate that they want to pay for the load or they will ask you to submit a quote for the lane. Once you have the numbers nailed down, you now know what to offer the carrier to haul the freight. On average, freight brokers make an about 10% of the load amount. Try to average 15% to 20% of the load. It might take a bit longer to find a carrier, but it will work out better at the end of the day. In case you do not have a carrier already in mind for the freight, then you should start posting on load boards such as Internet Truckstop, Get Loaded, or the DAT. However, they are not the only load boards on the internet, but are the load boards that receive the most traffic and most prospective carriers. Once the load has been posted, then you can move on to find more freight, or you may start calling your database for interest in the load. While calling the database, you will also start to receive calls from prospective carriers who saw the postings on the load boards. Once you have reached an agreement with a carrier to accept the line haul, immediately call the shipper to inform them that the load is covered and that you have a truck. If you have reached a deal with the shipper, then you'll obtain from them the rate confirma tion and load sheet for you to sign and return immediately. It might take a while to receive the rate confirmation. This is common as most shippers are extremely busy moving several loads. Now it is the time to clear your carrier through the FMCSA to make sure they have no prior history of accidents and that they have the proper insurance. Once this has been done, you will then fax your setup package to the carrier for him to sign and return. Once the carrier has completed your initial setup package, you will then prepare the rate confirmation sheet and loading order and fax that to them. They will also sign and fax that back to your office for your records. Now that you have received the signed rate confirmation from the carrier dispatcher, you have to call the truck driver and verify the entire load details and dispatch them to the location to pick up the load. The carrier should contact you daily with a status of the whereabouts of their truck. This is called a call check. It is standard operating procedure to impose fines to the carrier for failure to comply with your call check policy. This policy should be notated on the rate confirmation sheet. As soon as the load has been delivered, contact the shipper to let them know the status. It is standard operating procedure to require the carrier to fax a copy of the signed bill of lading when the load has been accepted, then you are aware of any problems with the load, or to verify delivery to the recipient. If there have been any problems with the load, you should contact all parties immediately, i.e., shipper, carrier, and recipient, and resolve them amicably. This is your responsibility as a broker. Though this may all seem to be complicated and a very mundane procedure, however, but you have to follow those procedures strictly to ensure smooth deliveries and also returning customers. Keep in mind that all situations that may arise concerning any given load can be resolved with the exception of force majeure incidents, acts of God.